Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
Let the truth
set you free.
You can't handle the truth.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration?
No. I am the father.
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
I don't want to brag, but I will. I was in the Avengers.
The Avengers?
Yeah.
That's great.
Thank you.
What is that?
Hasta la vista, baby.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Control Movie Podcast. I'm your host, Kenan, and thank you for joining us on today's episode, episode 63. Joining me today, my right and left-hand man, the Holy Trinity, we have Neil and Sasha. How are you guys doing?
Doing good, man. Doing good. How are you?
Yes, very well. Very well. I love the fact that we're doing this weekly now. It's good to talk movies. I'm enjoying this. So those of you who have been from us at the beginning, we were kind of doing it every 2 weeks. And then we had a few hiatuses because of holidays and all sorts. But now, yeah, we're here every week talking movies. And we're mixing up in terms of our subjects. We've got creative casting, which is going to lead in today's episode. We have top 10s. We do top 10 movies of all sorts. We've done different themes depending on the year. We've done Christmas ones, Halloween's, sports movies. It was actually a three-parter. And we're actually doing retro reviews now, where we're doing top 10 movie reviews of each year from 1980. So we've done 80, 81, and 82. So, and probably next week will be 83. We also got to go back to do Unpopular Opinions. That was a very popular episode with our listeners. So that is where we gave our unpopular opinion of a movie which generally is liked and we didn't, or a movie that, you know, generally isn't liked, but we do. So yeah, we'll definitely delve into that. So today's episode, we are here to talk about Metal Gear Solid. Okay, so Metal Gear Solid is a computer game. It's had a number of them over the years from Konami. And the reason why we're talking about it today is, well, it's over 25 years now since the first Metal Gear Solid game has been released. And also, they've also just released a master collection of the first three games. So if you haven't experienced Metal Gear Solid before, this might be a great way of you to delve into that arena. But also, they've been talking about a movie for quite a few years now. And we've had Oscar Isaacs attached to this for a long time. Up until sort of like before the writer's strike, he was still convinced it was going to happen. But as far as we know, there's no script or anything. So we don't know where it's at. So we're here today to say, what do we want from a Metal Gear Solid movie? And who are we going to cast as Solid Snake? Variants of him, because I'm not that familiar with the games. These two boys here, they're going to tell me all about that. And also other major characters. And we'll probably focus on the first game. But again, story-wise, it may be a combination of 1, 2, 3 games where there's flashbacks. I'm going to learn as much about this as you guys listening. So we're in for a treat today. So we're here. Metal Gear Solid. Creative casting.
Before we...
Let's go. Yeah, go on, Neil. Go on.
Before we do it, because I can hear... the fanboys losing their shit. We know Metal Gear Solid is not the very first game. We know that. Mm-hmm. But we are using it as our jump-off point because all of us own the PlayStation. So we know. And we say that is the most popular and widely recognized version of the first game. Came out on the PlayStation. We know that there was versions on NES and Nintendo. So chill out. We know. Before you jump in, we know.
Thank you for clarifying. Okay, so that's a great place to start, actually.
Quick one.
Go for it, Sasha.
It's the 21st anniversary of Metal Gear Solid 2 for PlayStation 2. Not on PlayStation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, guys, for our listeners who don't know what the hell Metal Gear Solid is, educate. What is it? What does it mean? Why should anyone care?
Greatest espionage game there is. The espionage franchise. I mean, obviously, if you love movies, then you've got tons. You've got James Bond, you've got Jason Bourne, you know. Hell, you've got, you know, Snake Plissken, right? You've got your espionage people. But just know, Solid Snake will kill them all. Right. But the game, you know, it's... I wouldn't call it your standard
To be honest, I think the best way to summarize it is imagine like Rambo in the movie The Rock.
Yes.
But with loads of big military types that have different kind of personalities, like a superhero, like a supervillain lineup, but they don't have superpowers, they're all assassins of different skills and things.
Rambo that make versus up, many different unique, Rambo.
Yeah, unique different military unit kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay,
that's
so it's like Rambo versus the A-Team.
Or Foxhound in this case. Yeah.
Okay. So.
Yeah.
Okay. So, who's our main character?
Solid Snake.
Okay. Is he a solo man? Does he work for an organization? Who does he work for?
He like Rambo. He's a reluctant soldier that's pulled in for one last mission by his old colonel when he used to be part of an operative group known as Foxhound. In the original PS1 game, his former unit, Foxhound, have actually taken over a base known as Shadow Moses Island in Alaska. Their main mission is to launch a nuke. Launch a nuke as a test from this brand new weapon, Metal Gear Rex, in fact. There were many Metal Gears, but Rex is a fully operational Metal Gear. Previously, before, they were just prototypes that didn't work, but Rex is fully loaded and ready to go. Obviously, every country in the whole damn world wants a piece of Rex, but these terrorists have taken it over, and it's up to Solid Snake to reluctantly face Metal Gear Rex, take it down, rescue the DARPA chief, and what's the other guy? Oh, and the president of Arms Tech, Kenneth Baker. That is his mission. Okay.
Okay. So, what is a Metal Gear?
A Metal Gear is a fully automated mecha that's like the size of a Gundam, and literally it fires nuke. So, basically, it's a portable nuclear missile device that could be anywhere in a country once activated. It could just walk, go somewhere around the world. You know what I mean? They'll never find it. You know what I mean? Yeah. They'll just fire a nuke and dash. It won't come from one location kind of thing.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, okay. So, this sounds awesome. I think I remember playing Metal Gear on the first PlayStation because it was very much sneaky. You know, it was all about not being detected, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think then I played, it might have been the third one on the PlayStation 3. Did the third one come out on PlayStation 3?
Yeah,
I think I played a little bit of that because my housemate at the time, he was playing it. And I played it for a little bit. So the premise sounds amazing. Why haven't we had a movie up until this point?
Nobody knows. Why? Nobody knows. So
I'd like to say,
so why? Avi Arid, why?
You know what?
Is it Konami not giving up the rights? I mean,
they'll sell their children, Konami. My best thought of Metal Gear when I first ever played it was like, this is 24 meets John Woo kind of thing. Mm-hmm. If John Woo directed 24, this is what we got. If you were in a game that was close to the TV show 24, it's Metal Gear Solid. Mm-hmm. Swap out Keith Sutherland for Solid Snake, and literally you've got it, because he has like people that he calls on a thing called a codex, and he's like, mm-hmm. you know, like how he's like, damn it, Chloe, you know, it's exactly that kind of
thing. Give me those semantics now. Yeah.
he's got the colonel on his codex, and he's like, yo, talk. And it's like a TV screen, like hit the car kind of thing. And he's like, mm-hmm. he's like, yeah, what's the situation? And they're like, Snake, we got people coming for you. Kind of like Ethan Hunt in Mission Impossible with the airpiece. Exact same mm-hmm. kind of thing. It's an operation thing, except, yeah.
Okay.
So you got like a cast of characters like Jack Bauer does at CTU. That's a 24 thing, not a Metal Gear thing, mm-hmm. but same kind mm-hmm. of thing. He's got like a doctor, he's got a weapon specialist, he's got the colonel that gives the mission, he's got someone that's an ally inside the base. You know what I mean? Someone, an unknown ally sometimes, where it's like, are they good? Are they bad? Who is this? That's the whole thing. So it's your typical espionage action thriller that you get. The only thing is, there's a big giant mecha in it. kind of like Godzilla style at the end that you have to take down. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, this sounds like an easy win. But yeah, obviously, like we said, there's reasons why it hasn't happened. In terms of the story, obviously, it goes over several games, I'd imagine. What do you want to see from the movie? Like you say, you Neil, you spoke about the jump point being obviously the PlayStation 1. Obviously, there were some iterations of this kind of character previously on other consoles, but that's kind of the main starting point. What do you want to see from a movie? Where's the best place for a movie to start? Is that why they're struggling, maybe, because they don't know where to start?
I wouldn't say that. I think the best place to start is Metal Gear Solid on the PlayStation 1. That is the best place to start. That is where I would argue that's where around 80% of people who love Metal Gear probably started with that. If you're of our age group, you probably started with that. Because I remember Metal Gear Solid, if I remember, was that two discs?
Yeah,
it was. Yeah, that was two discs. And that was like the only other game I remember playing that was multiple discs was Final Fantasy VII and Resident Evil 2. And Resident Evil 2, each disc was a different character. So is that. But I would say Metal Gear Solid on the PlayStation 1 is the best place to start. And I'd say the reason we haven't had a movie of it is twofold. One, there's already a, I guess you could say, established IP that is easier to get people on board with. You have Mission Impossible. You have Jason Bourne. You have, you know, like 24. You have other IPs that you can be like, oh, people already know this, and they don't have to have played a game to know it. So I think that's one reason. And secondly, the story is dense. The story is layered. This is the Lord of the Rings of espionage, story-wise, right? This ain't no short read. If they made Metal Gear Solid a novel, this thing would be 1,000 pages.
Right. I don't know about that, but yeah, I'd say it's very, very popular and very, very cool. Yeah. I know some people would class it as Lord of the Rings, but I think it's an overstatement a little bit. And I'm not dogging MGS because I'm a huge Metal Gear fan, but I just think... Yeah, there is like certain parts of lore that kind of would cross multiple films, etc. But it's like, I think if you're just doing the PS1 game, you can hint at stuff to come. But like, do you know what I mean? Realistically, it's no different to your average Hollywood 90s action movie. The key difference is probably the big giant mecha at the end, really. I mean, if you break it down logically, it's a $200 million movie with a big spectacle at the end because, you know what I mean? Like that.
I mean, they show what they can do with the creator. I just saw that this week, and that was like $100 million. So,
yeah,
you know.
It could be less. One of those... It could totally be less. Yeah, I could see it less. You'd have to scale back your casting with, like, famous heads and put, like, you know what I mean? C-listers from TV. But,
yeah,
like,
but I suppose that's where a lot of the budget goes these days. Like Sasha's saying, it's on the actors, right? You know, as much as it costs the effects and the practical stuff like that, for what the from visually from what I got from the creator was fantastic. But because Washington was kind of the only big lead in that movie, his was probably the highest paycheck. So it's understandable that it's trying to find that balance of finding a solid lead, but can you surround that solid lead with people who don't need that much pay to create yourself a good movie? So, and that comes back to that leading actor. You know, back in the 90s, you'd go see a movie for an actor. And I think you get less of that these days. It is more about the type of movie it is. You don't just go to see a particular movie because a certain person is starring in that now, generally speaking. But we don't have the big movie. Yeah. You know, back in the day, if it's a Schwarzenegger movie, you're going to see it. If it's a Stallone movie, you're going to see it. Even Bruce Willis, you're going to go see it now. Not so much. So, okay. So Sasha, where do you see the jumping point off? Do you agree? Is it like you pretty much want to make the first game?
There are three for me. There are three, but I've stuck with the first game for this podcast because it's the most popular one. I do think you could start chronologically, in terms, because the game has, okay, so originally Metal Gear came out in 1987, I do believe. Correct me if I'm wrong in the comments. I'm going by memory. I'm not really tracking anything at the minute. So, but it came out in the 80s. It came out on the MSX, which was popular in Japan, not so much the West. And there was an NES conversion, which is dog shit. I'm going to say this. I played this collection. I finished Metal Gear 1 and 2 on the MSX, and it was gold. Both of them were solid, literally. But the NES version, I don't know what rubbish was that. It was rubbish. It was trash. But I digress. You could start from that first game, that very first game, because it introduces characters from the beloved PS1 as a prequel of sorts. Mm-hmm. Or if you want to go back, you do Metal Gear Solid 3 on PlayStation, because that was actually a prequel to everything. And that game kind of changed the game in terms of lore and stuff. And I kind of think that's a good one to start off with as well. And I think a lot of new gamers, when Metal Gear Solid Alpha comes out next year, that's basically a remake of Metal Gear 3, but they're calling it Alpha because it's like a reboot of the series, if that makes sense. And they're starting with that game being Numeral Uno. So, you know, because there's a far bigger story with different characters and stuff, which I'm not going to go too in depth here, but as a jump off point, I've chosen, and Neil, I'm assuming, has chosen the PlayStation original because it's the most popular one, and probably more than likely because it's probably the easiest to digest, because some of the shit gets a bit crazy. So, but I do believe you could do, you know, the original game or Metal Gear Solid 3. They're digestible too. It's just that this one's the one that spot, you know, set the spark that made the fire. So yeah.
Okay. Well, according to Games Rant, so this is just information only, in terms of the franchise as it stands in terms of chronological order, we've got Metal Gear Solid 3, Snake Eater. Then we've got Portable Ops. Then Peace Walker, Metal Gear Solid 5, Ground Zeroes, then Metal Gear Survive, then Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain. So that was released in two parts, I take it?
Yes.
Then we've got Metal Gear. right. So then we've got Metal Gear. Then we've got Snake's Revenge. Then we've got Metal Gear Solid 2.
That's the bastard child. We don't speak of Snake's Revenge.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Then we've got, so Metal Gear Solid 2, Solid Snake. And then we've got Metal Gear Ghost Babel or Babel.
Yeah, that's the Game Boy
one. We've got Metal Gear Solid re-released in 98. Then we've got Metal Gear Solid Mobile. Then we've got Metal Gear Solid 2, released in 2001. Then we've got Metal Gear Solid 4, Guns of the Patriots. Then Metal Gear Acid. Metal Gear Rising, Revengeance. Oh my god. Metal Gear Acid 2. Police Nauts. Snatcher.
Police Nauts. Yeah, those aren't Metal Gear games.
Most of those games
are different games. Those are all Hideo Kojima games. Yeah, you've gone off into another tangent.
Okay. So I wonder why.
Yeah, Police Nauts is a different game.
Okay, so they say it's not strictly part of the Metal Gear series, but it says some of the game's events are part of the canon. Apparently, but there we go. Right, so we're talking about the premise. You guys kind of got an idea now of what we're looking at. Yeah, so it's an espionage movie. We've got a Lone Ranger, but he's got an earpiece and a team around him. And now we're going to start casting. So who wants to get the ball rolling? Any takers? Neil, Sash, who's going first?
I will take it. And I will point out, this is, if by now you haven't played Metal Gear Solid, and what I'm about to say is a spoiler for you, I could just say,
yeah, we're gonna go spoilers into the games now, people, because
genuinely, hand on heart, tough shit. This game is 20 something years old. There's people right now who are married with their own children. There are people who are married with their own children who weren't born when this game was released. So if I'm spoiling it for you, diddums. So
yeah. Otherwise, you have to go get the Master Collection, play the games, then come back. But yeah, let's go.
Right. So in the games deal with cloning. So spoiler alert, Solid Snake and the main villain of Metal Gear Solid, the game, Liquid Snake, are clones. So they are identical, essentially, right? However, when I was casting, I didn't think having one actor play both roles would work for me, just in general. I know it's sacrilege to the fanboys, tough shit. But yeah, so when I came to picking Liquid and Solid, I chose two different people. And I chose definitively different people. Right?
Okay.
So my
Sash, Solid, you're shaking your head. So just before you go on to casting, Sasha, why are you shaking your head? Do you think it needs to be the same actor?
No. I think it should be one guy, but I strongly believe that. Because they are clones. That's like having Janko Fett with different actors. Makes no sense. He's a clone, you know? Like, pick the same guy.
Yeah, but it wouldn't have run right.
But I digress. Carry on. That's just me.
All I'll say is, for me, it just needs to be two different people to capture two different performances. Whilst they may be clones, they act very, very different. And I feel to get the best out of it, you need two different people. That's just my personal view, my personal opinion.
How would you explain them being clones then if they don't look alike?
They don't need to look alike. The thing is, in the game, Solid Snake, now obviously if you lined them up side by side, things are different. But in the game, because of the nature of the PlayStation 1 and the fact that, you know, graphics are what they were, they possibly looked like one another. Liquid Snake has long blonde hair. Solid Snake has military cropped dark colored hair, right?
But it's it's the same game model.
Right.
It's the exact same game model. They just changed their haircuts.
Right. Did you guys know playing the game that they were clones before it was revealed in the game?
Fuck no. Hell no.
So, you don't really get to see Liquid. You don't really get to see Liquid properly until it's revealed. And before you meet Liquid, because I've played it recently, so I know. Before you meet Liquid, everyone says, God, you look just like the boss. And the boss is Liquid. So, like, every time that, you know, they mistake for Liquid. So, because that's the whole point. They are twins. I mean, hell, the remake is called The Twin Snakes for a reason, because they are twin snakes. But I digress. Crack on.
Okay. So, Neil, who would you cast then as Solid and who would you cast as Liquid?
So, for I wound up with certain roles, I wound up with two people. My pick for Solid Snake was Keanu Reeves. Or Kiefer Sutherland. Now, there is a point that Sasha told me that I was unaware of, and it shocked the absolute shit out of me. I chose Kiefer Sutherland because 24. I was like, who's not young, but could look like they could handle business and is believable that they could handle business. And I was like, all right, Hugh Jackman, yeah, that's too obvious. And I was like going through the running list and I thought 24 and I thought, ooh, you know, Kiefer Sutherland's got that grizzle. Sesh then informed me that Kiefer Sutherland...
He voiced the game, didn't he?
He voices a character in the game. And I was like, when he was, and he explained to me who he voiced, and I was like, wait, what? I was like, you, I thought he was joking. I thought he was pulling my chain. And then he said, no, dead serious. Kiefer Sutherland voices one of the characters. This is who he voices. And it does come off as if I am trying to be a smart ass by choosing someone who has a connection to the games to play a major role. It is not mm-hmm. that. I was unaware because my Metal Gear Solid history ends at Sons of Liberty.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But yeah, I got to get that out.
Okay.
Now, the Liquid Snake.
Keanu Reeves and Kiefer Sutherland. I can see that. Keanu, is it a little bit too much like John Wick? Would people take to that? It would be my question in terms of that solo guy going around with a gun. I think for me personally, as an audience member, I would probably gravitate more to Kiefer Sutherland doing it. But I'm just wondering if he's that little bit too old now. He's 56. Mm. So I just don't know if he can pull in the audience from a box office point of view.
The character's quite old.
The character's quite old. He's in his 50s. So
I'm just seeing with my producer head on in terms of box office numbers, is Kiefer Sutherland going to draw people in? Do you know what I mean?
So yeah, no, but, I agree. Mm. I agree with that.
Well,
point.
I think with that, yeah, you do make sense. But I'd say with that, honestly, I would be like, it's the equivalent of like an MCU film.
Mm-hmm.
To a degree, outside of certain characters, you don't really care who's playing the character. You care about the character. And I'm like, I'm telling you, there are certain sound effects and theme music bits, notes from Metal Gear Solid that if you were sitting down and a trailer came on and you heard that, you're not going to really give a heavy strike as to who's playing it. You're like, that's a Metal Gear Solid film.
That's
for fans for sure, but
yeah,
casual audience won't have the same you gotta understand, those fans are like 2% of the movie going audience.
I think that people forget that a lot of established IP, the word of mouth runs through that fan base. There's a lot of times I guarantee both of you can say that throughout your time, people who know that you love comic books and things of that nature, they were like, oh, this new movie about this person is coming out. And if you didn't get excited, they were like, it doesn't really matter if I see it. But if you was like, you have to see this film,
then it was like,
that's Friday evening sorted.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, cool. Right, so who have you got for Liquid then?
Liquid was, because I wanted my Liquid to be a little younger, is either Ryan Gosling or Luke Goss.
Luke Goss
played the villain in Blade 2, and he also played the villain in Hellboy the Golden Army.
Okay. All right.
And you know, to quote that granny, he's one mean motherfucker.
Well, I'll keep with the film within budget, that's for sure. That's right, Sasha. What have you gone for then? Because obviously yours is going to be a dual role, right? So who have you picked?
Mine was always a dual role because they are twins. To God damn it, it's in the remake title. The Twin Snakes is a clone. I don't believe for a word that you went there, but fair enough. I respect that. Cool. I don't, but you know. but no, for my soul, Solid and Liquid, okay, I wanted an A-lister from the bat. Now, back in the 90s, I would have picked Kurt Russell for Snake, okay? I would have hands down picked Kurt Russell for Snake. That is not the case no more, because there's been this actor who started off in this little small film called X-Men, and he's become a big A-lister. My perfect Snake would be Hugh Jackman, hands down. Okay? Hands down Hugh Jackman. All right? One, the guy can act. If you've seen him in other stuff, he could do both roles with his eyes closed. He could do Liquid. He could do Solid. He is physical. So, you know what I mean? He's the right age. He's the right age. He's perfect. There are other names I've got as well. But if I was to pick Solid Snake tomorrow without a thought, it's Hugh fucking Jackman, man. He looks like an Eastwood because the character was based on Clint Eastwood. So, you know what I mean? Like, sorry, Scott, you're too young. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like, you're too young. It's
crazy, actually, because I'm just checking now. Hugh Jackman, he's 55. So I'm like, Keith Sutherland, maybe he's a bit too old at 56. Hugh's 55. So,
yeah.
Fair enough.
Hugh Jackman's my, you know what? I would say Hugh Jackman's my only choice, but over the years, there are other actors that I've looked at and it's like, actually, they wouldn't be too bad. But he's my first choice. All right. If I was making a movie tomorrow, it was greenlit and they said, name one guy, he is my Snake. Okay. My Liquid, my Solid, fuck it. Put him in makeup. He's my Solidus. Okay, if we're going for Metal Gear 2, because you find out later in the series that actually there's not twins, there's Le Infant Terrible. You got three, okay? And one's an older clone, and then you've got like Big Boss, who's like old as well. So he can put on the makeup. He's that much of a good damn actor, and I don't think anyone can disagree with you. You want to make a $200 million movie? Well, you need an A-lister, and you can't get A-lister than Mr. Hugh Jackman. Other actors that I've thought about, okay, that aren't even as big as he is, okay, Carl Urban. Carl Urban's a great actor, but he's not an A-lister. You know what I mean? You know, he's been in a lot of stuff, but you don't get the Carl Urban movie. You know what I mean? But at the same time, this could be the role that pushes him to the status of A-lister. So I'm not ruling him out. I think he'd be very good as both Liquid and Solid. And even all the other roles. The next actor on my list, another one, similar kind of age range, Christian Bale. Christian Bale could play all those roles in his sleep. He's that versatile. I think he'd be good, but would he do it? I don't think so. And the last pick is the guy they've already cast, actually. After watching Moon Knight, that guy is very versatile. Oscar Isaac, I think, is a good choice, personally. He's not my first choice. In fact, he was never on my list. But when they when they announced him, I was like, you know what? I want to see what he does because I think he could do it. And hearing that he's a fanboy himself, it kind of makes me go, oh, okay, they've got the right guy. But like I said, not my first pick, but you know what I mean? Those are all A-listers, bar Urban. But they're all, in my opinion, the best people for the job kind of thing. The best of the best of the creme de la creme. And, yeah, it's not one role. It's multiple roles for me. Because, I'm sorry, the whole clone thing, that's essential to the plot kind of thing. It's the whole point why Big Boss is the main antagonist of the whole series. He doesn't really show up in this one except for a copy of him. I say a copy of him. Now, going back to the Keith Sutherland thing, Keith Sutherland played Big Boss in a prequel game because in Metal Gear 3, you play Big Boss, the guy that Liquid and Solid are clones of kind of thing. And he's like Captain America. He's like the perfect soldier kind of thing. So, like, not super strengths, etc., just his skill set, like more like a Django Fett kind of thing, you know. He's like an elite soldier, you know, whatever. Now, with that character, hang on, where was my train of thought here? Yeah, with that character, the clone thing, you know, the whole thing was to have like a clone army or clone thing where he created like the perfect fighting machine, which is Liquid and Solid. But because he was building like a group of mercenaries, he had many enemies as well because he enters politics and all kinds of shit. He actually did a Saddam Hussein. He went and got copies, like people that would be his decoys or copies and stuff. And that's where Keith Sutherland fits. He voices a character that believes he's Big Boss. He's been, you know what I mean, his memory's gone. And when he wakes up, you know what I mean? Everyone assumes he's the boss. And only a select few people know that He's not the boss, being his trusted lieutenants kind of thing, because they're working for the real boss who's gone into hiding and shit. So he's there. And that's the whole thing. Like, Keith Sutherland is not, he doesn't even play Big Boss the way Big Boss should be played. You know, all the little stuff. But they picked Keith Sutherland because he needed to be kind of like a softer character. You know what I mean? Like, then what Big Boss actually is. So it's that was a creative choice by Hideo Kojima, the creator, that it be Keith Sutherland, someone that could be hard ass, but also give more of a softer side for the stuff that that character needed to be put, you know, needed to do for that role. But he's not. The general misconception is that a lot of people think that he is actually Solid Snake now. That's not the case. He's playing another character that's had a facelift to look like this other guy kind of thing. So,
All right, let me throw some other names out there to you guys. You can tell me yay or nay whether you can see them in this role. What about Henry Cavill?
No.
He's too big.
Not even that he's too big. Unpopular opinion. He's not a good actor. He's very one note. I've only ever seen him in Superman and that Sherlock Holmes thing. And okay, Man from Uncle. Man from Uncle, he was better. He was better, but I've always found him a bit wooden. And for my movie, maybe not Neil's movie, but for my movie, I want someone that can act, that's very, you know, can do multiple characters, because Liquid and Solid are as different as you can get, which is why Neil probably did what he did with his movie, because they are very, very different personalities, you know? So,
what about Chris? Sorry, guys.
If you didn't know that they were clones, you would never believe that they were clones. They're that different in characterization, like personality, so to speak.
All right, next up, what about Chris Evans?
I think he's too young, kind of. I mean, he may not in age be too young, but he appears too young. Like, even if you see him in films where he's rocking like full beard, you're still like, yeah, you're Chris Evans. To me. In my personal opinion.
Maybe. But again, you know what? I don't think he could pull the liquid. He could probably do the solid, but he couldn't play the liquid. So, yeah.
Diego Luna from Star Wars Rogue One and Andor and Narcos?
No. Not for my movie. He couldn't pull off liquid. No way.
Okay. Jake Gyllenhaal?
I think this is one of the...
Gyllenhaal probably could, you know. I never thought of Jake Gyllenhaal, but now that you've popped him in there, he probably could pull it off. Because he's definitely got the acting
job. You know, he can be definitely the good guy, but you think about what he was like in, was it Ambulance?
The kind of crazy ass. You know, if
Andrew Lincoln from The Walking Dead.
No, not a chance.
No?
Not a chance. Okay. He's a brilliant actor, but not a chance.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, like, as wild as it sounds, if this was 1998, a guy who could really probably do both roles, more liquid than solid, but definitely could probably try for both if he had to go that route, Nicolas Cage.
No. But I see what you mean by the more liquid, but no, man. I love Cage, but no.
All right, last one from me. No. What about Mads Mikkelsen?
No.
The problem is...
Cool. Go on.
Yeah, I was going to say, the problem is that Solid and Liquid are so different that having one person embody both, you would have to be an actor that you're like, this is the top draw.
That's why I picked
and
Jackman,
you're gonna get
man.
Full regalia from both of them.
That's why I picked you, bro. That's why I picked you. You go for top shelf, man.
All right, so let's go through some of the other characters. Neil, who are some of the key characters you've casted?
I ran the gauntlet, I had them all. So of like Colonel Campbell, I wanted either Kurt Russell or Mel Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
Right. For Meryl, right, who's like the kind of action.
Shall we do it one at a time? Or like, do you want
to? Yeah.
Let's do it one at a time.
Colonel Campbell.
Because, I don't see. See, the thing is, I see why you're picking Kurt Russell for the reference, but he's not Campbell, man. Campbell was based on the perfect Campbell is it Michael Crenna that is the Colonel from the Rambo series?
Yeah.
Okay, that's who the character's based on. Kind of thing. And obviously, you know, I guess it's an open interpretation to who you get really from that. I just feel that both of their casting kind of overshadows the role a little bit, if that makes sense. I'm not saying they can't do it. It's just, I don't know. With Kurt Russell, I feel there is a character I would pick Kurt Russell for. I don't think it's that one. Kind of thing.
Okay.
But that's just me. My first playing the game, my first choice was John Voight.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But then there are other actors that are that I think could do it, but a different interpretation of it.
How about like a Gary Oldman or a Bryan Cranston?
Bryan Cranston would be really good. Bryan Cranston would be really good, I feel. In fact, Bryan Cranston's probably spot on perfect, to be honest. But yeah, John Voight, Bryan Cranston. I even had Kelsey Grammer.
Harrison Ford,
Dennis Quaid, Kevin Costner, although I have a different maybe role Kevin Costner. Alec Baldwin even. But then Alec Baldwin just... probably too on the nose for being, you know, as famous as he is, if you know what I mean.
Also because of the Mission Impossible films. So yeah.
Okay. The wild card here, though, in my casting is Liam Neeson.
Right. Okay.
That's the wild card. But because Colonel Campbell doesn't sound like Liam Neeson, you know what I mean? Like, you know, but everyone else I mentioned, I can kind of see it. Yeah, you know I mean, but Liam Neeson doing the mentor kind of thing, like Snake. Yeah, I can picture it.
Or even a Sean Bean.
Because you know why Sean Bean? Because people that have never seen it are probably going to think that my man's going to die.
And die.
And he doesn't. So because it's working like
Sean Bean,
the genre,
he won't be in the sequel.
Yeah, in the sequel, and the MGS fans are like, yo, you kill off fucking Colonel Campbell.
All right, let's move on. Who we got next? Yeah. Neil, who we got next?
Meryl.
Meryl, yeah.
Okay, and who's Meryl?
Meryl is Colonel Campbell's daughter, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
So you find out, you get told she's the niece, and you found out later in the game, no, actually, she's his daughter. And, she's another operative that's on the base that you link up with and team up with.
Cool.
So, yeah.
So, who'd you have, Neil?
I had either Jennifer Lawrence or Willa Fitzgerald.
What do we know her from, Willa Fitzgerald?
She is in, let me see, Willa Fitzgerald. She was in The Fall of the House of Usher.
That's the most okay, yes.
Oh, yeah.
She was the young Madeline. She's in Reacher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Season one.
Yeah.
She's Roscoe, the little cop. Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
that's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
that's right. Fair knowledge.
That's probably where I know mostly from. Yeah, okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay. Sasha, who did you have?
You know what? That's a good choice. That's a good choice. Mm-hmm. That's better than my choices.
All right, who did you have, Sash?
I had Karen Gillian mm-hmm. from mm-hmm. Guardians. Yeah. I had her. I also had Scarlett Johansson. Yeah. But you know what? Forget both of them. I actually like your choice from Jack Reacher. No, yeah.
Yeah, Willa.
All right, cool. Who we got next then, Neil?
I had Natasha Romanenko.
Oh, okay, yeah. Weapon specialist.
Yeah. Sigourney Weaver.
Sigourney Weaver?
Yeah. I know. Like, but, I mean, what's her name? Romanenko isn't that young.
I'd say she's in her 40s, 50s, early 50s.
I always thought she was older. Like, I mean, well, I thought she was in the game. Yeah, she was like in her 50s. But I was like trying to find an actress in her 50s.
I'm getting Charlize Theron vibes from the from.
Yeah,
the
I could see that. I actually had Katie Slackoff.
Oh, I mean.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But Charlize Theron, yeah, Mandalorian. Sure. Mm-hmm. Why not? But Slackoff, so, but you know.
Slackoff would be cheaper.
Slackoff would be cheaper. But yeah.
Okay, cool. All right. Who we got next, guys?
Revolver Ocelot.
Revolver Ocelot. Okay. Yeah. And who
this is
this?
One of them? This is one of these integral characters of the series.
Yeah, this motherfucker is cool. This guy is cooler than Freddie Jackson drinking a milkshake in a snowstorm. He is cool. I initially had only two people in mind, but I did have a third person who was like the absolute wild card, and it was just I think this person could be cool in that kind of role. So my two main picks were Ron Perlman or Peter Stormare. Right?
Peter Stormare.
Those two.
Okay, who's this?
Peter Stormare. He's like the devil in Constantine. He's the devil in Constantine. He's the brother of the guy in John Wick 2.
Oh, yeah. As soon as you hit see the face. Yeah. He's been Fargo, Constantine, Prison Break, Armageddon. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. The only other person that came to mind, was... And this is literally, as I said, this is just absolute wild card. The person is nothing like the character, but I just love it. Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Okay. All right. It's the Sasha does not seem to agree. Sasha has left the building.
This is a complete wild card. And I was just like, all I can see in my head is the way Van Damme plays the villain in Expendables 2. I know it's not the greatest movie, but I was just like, yeah, just that, you know, that kind of, I think I'm cool, but I'm not as cool as I think I am, but I'm too dangerous for you to tell me I'm not as cool as I think I am. That, I'm just like, yeah.
Okay. How old is the character? Is an older character, middle aged, or what kind of age is
he? He's an older character. He's probably in his 70s at this point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's proper old. He's like in his 70s. Hell, he could even be in his 80s. Because you got to understand, he was running ops since the 50s. So, you know, he's old.
Yeah.
He's old as fuck.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't like either of those.
could that be a Samuel Jack? Could that be like a Samuel Jackson character?
Hell no. He's Russian, proper Russian.
Oh, he's
like
Russian, right? Wise. Okay.
But proper descent wise, he was born there, but he was raised in America. So the character himself was based on Lee Van Cleef, the late Lee Van Cleef, from, funnily enough, Escape from New York. And The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. If you see his character in the game and look at his character from The Good, the Bad, the Ugly, and A Few Dollars More, it's the same guy. It's the same guy.
Mm-hmm.
Without a question of a doubt. So much so that his opening line is a line from A Few Dollars More. So, when he's talking about the cult. the revolver. So, yeah. So, with my casting, I was trying to pick someone that is very much like Lee Van Cleef, because Lee Van Cleef is the guy. And that's really hard to do. But there is one guy, and that is Sam Elliott. Sam Elliott is probably perfect for the role. He could play it in his sleep. He more or less plays the same character all the time. My second choice would have been William Hurt, but God rest his soul, he's not with us anymore. But Sam Elliott is the guy. But
What about John Malkovich?
John Malkovich would also be good. But I had different guys. I had two different guys. One guy I casted mainly because... So Revolver's been around. Let's say if I was to do Metal Gear Solid 3, I would have to cast a younger actor to play Revolver. And it was kind of easier to do that with my second choice. So my second choice for Metal Gear Solid is Kevin Costner. However, the younger Kevin Costner...
I can't see you playing a Russian.
No, he's not doing the Russian accent. He's got an American accent.
Think of him like Tim Roth in Incredible Hulk, right? Where you're like, you may be born in this place, but you do not have an accent from this place.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Okay.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah, yeah. So Kevin Costner would probably be my guy, and Josh Lucas would be the younger version of him. And the reason why I say Josh Lucas is because of Yellowstone. Okay, they both play the same character in Yellowstone, so much so I didn't notice that it was Josh Lucas until the second season, because I started paying attention to, you know, the cards at the end, like who's playing who. I was like, get the fuck out of there, because I just thought they put the makeup on Kevin Costner and de-aged him that way or something, because I knew it wasn't CGI. I didn't really think too much of it. But Josh Lucas's young Kevin Costner impersonation and even mannerisms and shit in that show, fuck me, he out-acts Costner. He's like, it's like, fuck, man. That he's playing Kevin Costner? I thought it was Kevin Costner, you know? So that's why I'd have the dual role, you know, if you were to do prequels and stuff later on. But otherwise, you know what? Sam Elliott's probably my guy. My wild card, though, is Michael Keaton. And that's very left field considering who the character is. But Michael Keaton, Revolver Ocelot is kind of full of himself and very over the top. He's very theatrical in the way that he talks to Snake when they're fighting and stuff. Kind of like your mustache twirling villain, literally. And Michael Keaton, when he hams it up and just gives a shouty performance, he steals. He steals the show. And hell, I just say give the man a mustache and let him ham it up. I'll gladly watch Michael Keaton's take. But, you know, that was just
okay,
a
what about somebody? What about somebody who's lesser known? So I might butcher this pronunciation, but Rade Serbedzia.
I have no clue who that is.
He played Boris the Blade in Snatch. He was also the villain in...
He's in the Shooter.
He's in the Saint. Yeah, he often plays like a Russian guy. If you see a picture of him, you know exactly who it is. But what you're talking about, the guy...
Are you Boris the Blade from Snatch?
Boris?
Yeah, are you trying to go there because of his Russian descent? Or are you because of the accent that he has to play in Russian?
Maybe a little bit, but the type of character because he can be very over the top and looking by the pictures, he's kind of got the look. So
I mean,
just something a bit different.
He's definitely got the look. But I would still have him as a Russian American because that's integral to like the character in general, especially for later on down the thing because you find out why he defects to the US and that kind of stuff. So. I wouldn't play him as a Russian. I definitely mentioned he's from Russia, but because he's very much a cowboy, you know, hence why I went for Sam Elliott and Kevin Costner. You know what I mean? Because when you look at Revolver, look at Lee Van Cleef. Lee Van Cleef is the perfect, because that's who the character's based on, like legitimately. Mm-hmm. Hideo Kojima based Solid Snake on Clint Eastwood on Lee Van Cleef because of The Good, the Bad, mm-hmm. the Ugly. So, you know, that's the archetype. Even, you know what I mean?
And he was
so
in Escape from New York as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, that's right. He was in mm-hmm. Escape from New York, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
The place where Snake gets his name.
Yeah.
Yeah. It all comes together, people. It all comes together. Right, who we got next? Any more casting ideas?
I got Hal Emmerich, who is Otacon.
Yeah. Oh, Mr. Wizard, the science guy. The science guy. So Dr. Hal Emmerich, aka Otacon, who's big into anime, he's like a scientist on the base, part of the program. Mm-hmm. Snake saves his life from the ninja, mm-hmm. and literally, you know, he helps Snake take down Foxhound. So he's a contact on the list, and he sneaks around the base because he's got like camouflage gear like Predator. And he just, you know what I mean? He's just walking around okay. getting you stuff and whatnot. So, that's how Emmerich. Who've you got, Neil?
I only really had one person in mind.
Okay.
Rami Malek.
Ooh, I got Rami Malek too.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. I got a few more people though, but I got Rami Malek, okay? Rami Malek. Big shout out to my friend Ez Hoff. Ez Hoff, he acts. I'll cast Ez. Ez, you can be Otacon. Mainly because he looks like him. Throw a lab coat over Ez. Trust me, you will be like, that's him. I mean, I wanted to do a meme of like the PlayStation 1 game and send it to him, but he's got this before in his life. So yeah, Ez, you're getting a mention. But famous people or people in stuff. Okay. Rami Malek was actually my first choice. Okay. He was my first choice. My second choice is Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Evan Peters.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's a little bit younger. So you're kind of going younger with this character.
Yeah. Yeah. He is younger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. 100% younger. Cool.
Because as soon as I looked at it, I got very much Guy Pearce vibes. I'm just looking at the image, but okay, cool. All right, who else we got, guys?
You could do a Guy Pearce, like Iron Man freeze Guy Pearce.
I think Guy Pearce could.
Yeah,
I think Guy Pearce could have played Revolver. Like my next character written down was Sniper Wolf. She is a assassin, and she's a, as the name suggests, she is a sniper. I had two names down. One's a little younger, one's a little older. I had Diane Kruger.
Oh, damn, I got her too.
But my younger one would have been Sasha Luce.
What do we know her from?
She is in... I'll pull up her name right now. She is in... Anna. An action movie that came out in 2019.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, she's the main character in Anna.
Mm-hmm.
If not her, then even though like you guys would have mentioned her before, I would have probably said Charlize Theron for Sniper Wolf then. So those three.
Okay.
Would be my.
No, I agree with you with Charlize Theron. That was my second choice also. Yeah.
Who else we got?
Psycho Mantis.
Ooh, I got one. I think we got the same one. We must do.
I don't know. I genuinely don't know if we would have the same one. Mine is a two-pronged role.
Oh, really?
It is. Okay. Someone playing the role and someone voicing the role.
I
playing the role,
yeah.
I would have Doug Jones.
Yep.
Right. Oh yeah, Doug Jones. He does a lot of that stuff.
That's who I had. I had him doing both. I didn't have him just acting. I had him doing the voice as well because he is a great voice actor as well. Mm. And I think he, if you're going to bring in Doug Jones, you don't voice over him Silver Surfer style. Just fucking get him to do it full out.
Perhaps
that's just me anyway. But yeah.
But the reason is voice wise. I would have Matthew Wood playing him.
As in General Grievous?
Yes.
Okay. I got one better. Because I had someone for just the voice.
Mm-hmm.
Doug Stone.
Ooh.
Well, he voiced him originally.
Yeah.
If you're going to do that, you may as well get the original guy, right?
That is true.
Considering the character, no one's going to care. You know what I mean? No one's really going to care. Yeah,
I suppose that would actually be right. I'd probably say
you may as well give the fans what they want. Otherwise, if I was going to have, for just actors, I had Doug Jones, set him as you, but I was going to let him play the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Mackenzie Crook, and for wild card, David Tennant.
Hmm.
Just for a complete wild card. But then when I thought about it, I was like, not for Psycho Mantis, you don't want someone like David Tennant in there. You know what I mean? Like he's a name, he's not an A-lister, but you could see why I picked him. Yeah. However, I'm saving my monies and I'm gonna cater to the fans. I'm gonna give him Doug Stone. I'll have a random guy. You know what I mean? Like Psycho Mantis isn't—he's just a boss that's in there for about 5 minutes. We deal with him. Blah blah. You're done. You know what I mean? Fight scene sequence or effect sequence. You're done. You know what I mean? Like sure, he's in it throughout the movie up until he cops it. But do you know what I mean? We don't need like some big name for this thing. It's just like get an extra that could do all the crazy shit and put Doug Stone's voice on.
Just get Sean Gunn. He'll do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So yeah. That's it.
Yeah, that's that.
Cool. All right. Anybody else, guys?
Vulcan Raven.
Ooh, mate. This one. We're not gonna have the same people here because
we ain't gonna have the same people.
I actually rang up Leo, and we both thought about this. Hard because I was like, fuck man, I need help on this.
Right. Vulcan Raven. So Vulcan Raven is a Native American. He is a tough some bitch. Right. He has like like the engine of like a plane strapped to his back, and he's like,
yeah, I'm just looking at the pictures now. Okay,
yeah, he is a beast. There was only two people that I thought of, neither of them are stellar, but I'm like, really and truly, you're just here to fulfill the visual. I'm not casting these people for their acting prowess, I just need them to fulfill the visual. So my picks were The Rock or Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel, tiny. Yeah, I ain't having Vin Diesel. I'd pick Dave Bautista over those two.
I was going to say that's who I would have picked.
Bautista is a lot better.
Terry Crews.
He's not Native American though.
No, I mean none of them are Native American.
Is that essential to the character?
Yeah, it is kind of
to a degree, and it's like at least with Batista, Dwayne Johnson, or Vin Diesel, at least you could be like, you look ambiguous enough that if I didn't know where you were from, you could potentially be Native American. Whereas you look at Terry Crews and you're like, you are not Native American, sir.
Sasha, who did you have?
So Bautista wins hands down. Everyone else, I was trying to pick a Native American guy that, you know what I mean, that you could forge into the role, if that makes sense. But it's not you know, it's not a particularly very big role for someone to go all out. Otherwise, the names that I had was, and also the person's a lot older, so it's like it was hard to cast, man. But I put Tatanka. He's like a wrestler. That's a native Tatanka guy. Yeah. So I was like, okay.
Isn't he like 70 now?
Well, this is just it. Falcon Raven is that he's in his 50s, almost 60s.
Tatanka's 62.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, that guy. I was even looking at what's his name? Oh shit, another Yellowstone guy, Gil Birmingham, who's a Native American actor. He's in Yellowstone. He's more of a big guy than, you know, a muscular guy. So that would probably be Jim. Look after yourself, mate. Don't get a heart attack. And then when I really came down and thought about it, Batista's the obvious choice, man. Because one, he's got the range. Two, I think I would believe that he was Native American if, you know,
you're not
going
to get cancelled not casting a Native American role.
Maybe, but I have tried. I have tried with my train of thought, because it's easy to cast Vin Diesel and The Rock, but I really don't want to. Like,
what about the guy who played Deathstroke? Joe Mangalingo?
Mangalingo? No, not at all.
No.
The thing is, do you know what? It's going to sound wild. I am looking at my casting based on this being a solo movie.
He doesn't show up again. So,
but
David Mid-Thunder as well.
But
someone I looked at.
But I would say that even with that casting, I wouldn't want to put certain people in a role that I know is essentially a throwaway role.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. What about Jason Momoa?
No.
Cool.
I'm just trying to imagine Jason Momoa bald. Cart runway.
Yeah. No, you can go online and see it because he chopped off all his hair for charity, so you can see him.
No, definitely not.
Okay. So who else we got? What other characters we got?
Right. There's Naomi Hunter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh shit, my mind's actually gone blank. She's like a tech girl.
Right, okay. Yeah.
She's a doctor.
Yeah. Sorry, she's a doctor, right?
Yeah.
I just Dr. had summer
Naomi
glue.
Hunter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, doctor. I just had summer glue. Nothing fancy, just if you watch enough sci-fi, you know who Summer Glue is.
Yeah, I know who Summer Glue is. Yeah.
You just had her.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So she's from Serenity in the Terminator series, right? Sarah Connor.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, she'd be okay. I had Anne Hathaway, Neve Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm pretty open to that one. It's not really
The next one is the big time. Gray Fox.
Yeah.
That I had two names, and I was like, if it weren't one of these two, if I had creative control, and I was like, you pick one of these two people, if they were like, both of them have said no, then I'd be like, find a way to make them say yes. Right, because we ain't looking for no one else. Is Mark Dacascos? He's in John Wick. He's in the film Drive, not the Ryan Gosling one.
Yeah.
He is in. He was in the Crow.
A legend.
He's a legend.
Bear shit, man. He's in everything. He's stuff, Brotherhood right? of the Wolf, man. Yeah. Brotherhood of the Wolf,
or
Double Scott. Dragon.
We don't talk.
Yeah, back in the day.
Yeah, Mark Dacascos. Yeah, I could see that. I've got him on my list.
Scott Adkins. That's the only two that I could have thought of could do Grey Fox.
I've got more people, but
based on the character, casting, is it is Izzy wearing a mask all the time, so it doesn't matter who it is?
No, because the mask comes off at one pivotal point and you see his face. And when you see it, I'm like, you need to see someone that in your heart and soul, you look at and you're like, yeah, you could do that.
Okay.
So, casting-wise, this was one I thought about a lot, actually. While I share your love for Scott Atkins and Mark Dacascos that I have there, I actually thought about if it was a series longevity, let's say you did the first two games, the MSX ones, that character has a bigger role before he's in a robot ninja suit. Okay. So my choices would have been Mark Dacascos based on that. Scott Atkins, maybe, but he was low down on my list. But my main ones were, and you got to understand, he's only a ninja when he's in that suit. That suit and all that training after that incident that happens to him like 15 years ago in Zanzibar Land in the second game. So these guys aren't martial artists for this guy, all right? For Grey Fox, I had Johnny Depp or Keanu Reeves. Now, which is like, what? Mm-hmm. Seriously? But no, was looking for someone that is around the same age as Snake, because they were comrades in the same unit. I was looking for someone, you know, that's a bit veteran, and I thought you can't get better than John Wick. And Johnny Depp, mainly because he's a very versatile actor, he'd be good for those first two games. But at the same time, my whole thing with Grey Fox was, because he wears the mask, you could just get a stunt double and have a really good martial artist. The other thing with Grey Fox, what I wanted to do was, I wanted to do a Darth Vader. I was like, body, face, and voice. So for the body, you hire the best in the biz that could do that stuff, that isn't an A-lister, okay, that can do all the stunts. For the voice throughout, we get back the great Rob Paulsen, Donatello from the Turtles cartoon, also, more importantly, OG Grey Fox from the game. We bring back Rob Paulsen to voice the character that the fans love. And for the face reveal later on, you have your A-list star or whoever, Johnny Depp, Keanu Reeves, whatever, but with, like, you know, kind of like the Darth Vader thing where you have James Earl Jones, but then you hear his, you know, the real actor's voice kind of thing, kind of like a thing. And that way you have the best of both worlds and you open up the character for that actor to go back and play him in the, in the other film, if that makes sense. So I know that's a lot, but I just feel we Darth Vader it and make it a memorable character rather than this actor. It can only be this guy throughout and nobody else kind of thing. Because Darth Vader's one of the greatest villains in cinema history. It took many different actors to fulfill the role of Anakin Skywalker. And I love Grey Fox as a character that much that I feel that it should be a combination of the effects, the stunts, the actors, the voice actors, everything. I think that would be it. And also, I think when you have that face reveal, seeing him like Vader, like all mash up and shit, it would add more to, you know what I mean? Especially if you decide to do the other films first, you know what I mean? Kind of thing. So, yeah. But that's just me. Anyway.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Okay, have you guys got anybody
three
else?
Left. Yes.
Three. I got four. My fourth one's a missing character.
Three characters left.
Yeah, go.
All right. Yeah, I'm just going to run them through back to back because I have one person for each of them. And they're not...
Okay.
Not to say that they're not important, but they're not of heavyweight status enough that it was like, oh, we have to... it would be a strong discussion on each of them. So my three remaining characters are Mei Ling, Donald Anderson, and Kenneth Baker.
For those just tuning in, or for Ken's reference, the whole point of the mission is to rescue Kenneth Baker, who's the president of Armtech, and the Dark Chief, Donald Anderson. That's yeah. part of the mission priority, to rescue these two guys.
Yeah, these two guys are they're why you go in, or partly, right?
Yeah.
So for Mei Ling, I had Renko Kikuchi of Pacific Rim fame.
Okay.
Donald Anderson, I had Jeffrey Wright of Westworld fame.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And
the Batman, yeah, Gordon.
Yeah, Commissioner Gordon. And Kenneth Baker, I had Bruce McGill, who most recently, most people will remember him from Reacher. He's the mayor with the cane, with the big diamond cane. Him, he was in Time Cop. He'd be my guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right, Sasha, what do you have for those picks?
Those picks. So, hang on, wait. I liked your Mei Ling. That was a good one. My Mei Ling is Pom Klemtiff.
Oh yeah,
yeah, from Guardians of the Galaxy, Mantis.
Mission Impossible.
Impossible as well. I think she'd be the perfect Mei Ling. She's also relevant now, so yeah, she'd be my Mei Ling. Donald Anderson, I actually, you know what? I like your pick. My picks were Dennis Haber from 24 for the reference to 24. Mm. You know, going for that vibe. Mm. But you know, my other choice was Lawrence Fishburne.
Mm.
So yeah. Okay. For Kenneth Baker, I had, funnily enough, I had Brian Cox.
He's not too dissimilar to Bruce Cox, McGill.
Yeah. Yeah. I had Brian Cox.
Yeah.
And for a different kind of take on him, I had J.K. Simmons.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
And my mystery role. Hey, look.
J.K. Simmons could play a general, actually.
Yeah, he could. He could. I just think he's a bit too stern, though, for that role. I think you need to really...
He doesn't have the... Colonel Campbell has a bit of a softness.
Yeah, he does have a bit of a softness.
Okay. An approachability. Like, okay.
Yeah, kind of like how the Colonel in Rambo is, in fact, because that's the archetype of the character.
Yeah.
He has... Yeah, he's like, Rambo did this, etc., blah, blah, blah. But he's got that fatherly kind of like thing, especially towards the end when he's talking to Rambo down.
Yeah, that sounds like Bryan Cranston. Okay,
cool. And you know what? That's probably the best cast for the Colonel Bryan Cranston. He wasn't on my list. Everyone else was. But now that you said it a few times, Ken, I think he'd be the perfect Colonel Campbell. I never thought. But no, yeah, you've convinced me. But yeah, I've casted the boss himself, Big Boss, Kurt Russell. And if you paid attention to Metal Gear Solid, he's also the president of the United States. Okay. So, yeah.
Cool.
So,
all right.
Yeah, that's my cast.
I just want to throw one name out there, which has come to mind, because I think this person could play. What about Tom Hiddleston for Snake?
No. Maybe Liquid, if you're going to do Neil's thing. But definitely not Solid. No.
Oh, okay. It's just because we've spoken to him about being James Bond before. So I was thinking, okay, well, if he can do that, surely he can do the bad guy, because you see Loki.
Not
so
Bond.
Yeah.
Snake is not Bond.
It's not Bond.
Like,
no.
Put it this way. I'm like, if you took Jason Bourne, Jack Bauer, James Bond, you know, if you took all of them guys... And you put them, and you were like, all right, you all going to start at a GoldenEye style. You all start in a different place, and you're all hunting each other, and you drop Solid Snake in there. Some people are going to be upset with the result.
I think Rambo could take Snake, though. Stallone's John Wayne, Rambo could take Snake.
After watching First Blood today, I can concur. I can see that.
Did you for real only just seen First Blood for the first time? Or were you bullshitting?
All the way through, yes. watching it, I've obviously noticed I've seen bits of it over the years because it's just always been on TV.
Okay.
But I've never actually sat down and watched it from like start to finish. There's bits I completely recognized.
That's different than when you were like, I've never seen First Blood. I was
I'm not like not aware of it, and I'm not like, you know, disfamiliar with it, or you know the fact that he's running around with a machine gun and a bandana, and the fact that he wears that thing over him in the jungle, and you know, so I saw a lot of that stuff.
Right.
But today was the first time I actually sat down and watched it all the way through.
You can be more specific when you name, when you say certain things, because you were like, I've never seen it. And I'm like,
when I say I haven't seen a film, it means I haven't watched it from start to finish. So I will clarify that in the future. But I had to rectify that quite quickly. So I watched it today. All right, cool. Guys, have you got any other people that you want to have a shout out in terms of any casting ideas for Metal Gear Solid?
I don't.
Nope. We good?
What's that? What's the question?
I don't have anything.
Did you have any other characters, anybody else you wanted to mention in terms of casting?
No, that's it. That's it. That's the main thing. Maybe Clint Eastwood as Big Boss, but no.
Cool. All right. If you're gonna make one movie, he might be able to do it, but I wouldn't rely on him for a franchise.
Yeah, no.
Man's 93.
Maybe you could. So, you haven't played Big Boss, and then you have Scott Eastwood play the younger version.
Well,
you can have Scott Eastwood for Metal Gear 3, the prequel, right? And then you could have Clint Eastwood be at the end at Metal Gear 4 at the very end as Big Boss.
So just film it now, get it done.
Film it now before something happens to the guy. But that would make sense. Kurt Russell would be my Big Boss, to be quite honest. Mm-hmm. He's more than perfect for it. That would be who I'd pick as Big Boss. My second choice would have been Mel Gibson, but it's always Kurt, mainly because of like the reference and the fact, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you know, there's a younger version of him out there as well, because you've got Wyatt Russell.
Okay,
cool. All right, well, there you have it. That's Neil and Sasha's ideas for casting the Metal Gear Solid movie. Let us know in the comments what you thought. How many did they nail? How many did they miss the mark on? What are your thoughts? What are your suggestions for who should play the key characters in that franchise? Make sure you sound off in the comments, whether it's on YouTube, Spotify, when we post it on Facebook, Twitter, wherever it is. But guys, thank you very much for being here today. And thank you guys very much for listening. I just referenced those places where you can make a comment, because that's where you can watch and listen to the podcast. If you want the video version, you can check us out on YouTube or Spotify. But obviously from the podcast, you have the audio, you can get it on any major platform, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, Google Podcasts, any Overcast, all of them. Guys, anything else before we leave today? We all good?
It's just a box.
I assume that's a witty reference.
There's a reference to the game.
Okay, guys, thanks very much for listening. And until next time, peace out. Peace.